Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we pray it's your radio station if you're listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. If you've downloaded this particular edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And we pray you'll take a quiet time, a quiet moment right now from the busyness of your day and your life, and let's gather around God's Holy Word. You know, the Bible said that of itself, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word, God's Word, will abide forever. Praise God. Amen. And Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we're getting ready to have a good meal of soul food. Praise God. Amen. You know, church signs can get kind of goofy sometimes when we try to think up something that will attract busy people's attention as they go to and fro. But I saw one the other day that I really, it stuck with me. It grabbed my attention. And it said, "Most religions try to make bad men good, whereas Christianity makes dead men alive." I liked that, because when you experience new life in Jesus Christ, it's going to take care of that bad man good stuff. But if you don't have life in Jesus, then you're not truly saved. And this is not just about making bad men good or good men better. This is about bringing people who were dead in trespasses and sins to life eternal. Praise God. And it doesn't begin when He takes us to heaven. It begins the day you get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. You hath He quickened, the Scripture declares, which means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is going to be an exciting message today. I'm going to tell you the topic before we even invite you to our website. It's what's so amazing about grace. What's so amazing about grace? And we're going to talk about this great subject that allows God to forgive every sin, seal us with the Holy Spirit, write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, record us as a citizen of heaven while we're still living right here upon planet Earth. Praise the Lord. So you don't want to miss this teaching today. We would like to invite you to our website. If you would like to come, just type in THCOG. That's THCOG. Google it, as they say in computer language, the great search engine Google. If you type it in on that search engine, I assure you it will take you directly to our website right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. And you will find all kinds of Bible helps. You will find the Bible in different languages. You will find podcasts to download any of the materials that you find helpful to you onto an MP3 player. You can follow us on Facebook. That's new, and Twitter. We've just begun that. We just want to expose the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as will listen, to do two things. Number one, to reach those who don't know Christ as their Savior. And number two, to edify, instruct, exhort every child of God and every believer to take a strong stand, come very close to God and walk with Him. His coming is very, very soon. Praise God. Well, we're going to get into this subject today. What's so amazing about grace? Hardly anyone on this planet hasn't heard the song "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton wrote that song. He was on board a slave ship on May 10th, 1748. Returning home during a storm when he experienced a great deliverance, according to his journal. He wrote that the ship was in grave danger of sinking, And he cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us." And just simply, he was converted. He was saved. The hymn was quite popular on both sides in the American Civil War. While on the Trail of Tears, the Cherokee were not always able to give their dead a full burial. Instead, the singing of Amazing Grace had to suffice. Since then, Amazing Grace has been considered the Cherokee national anthem. For this reason, many contemporary Native American musicians have recorded this song. In recent years, this song has also become popular with drug and alcohol recovery groups, particularly Christian ones, at celebrations of how they once were lost and now are found. Newton's lyrics have become a favorite for Christians of so many Protestant denominations, largely because the hymn vividly and briefly sums up the Protestant doctrine of divine grace. The lyrics are based on 1 Chronicles 17:16, where King David marvels at choosing him in his house. Newton apparently wrote this for use in a sermon he preached on this passage on New Year's Day, 1773, for which he left his sermon notes. He entitled the piece, Faith's Review and Expectation. And within that heading, he read for the first time the words of this great hymn that music was set to and is sung around the world, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found, was bound, but now I'm free. Praise God. Amen. Amazing grace. And I'm going to read this scripture text that inspired this great hymn and from 1 Chronicles 17:16. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" I like the Amplified. It says, "Who am I that you brought me up to this?" Or as one paraphrase reads, that you brought me up to this place in my life. I've often remarked that when we as believers walk through the gates of solid pearl into streets of pure gold, past the river of life, and stand before the throne of our holy God, we will be overwhelmed by a sense that we really don't belong here in this holy place with such holy persons. And yet we will stand unashamed and unafraid because God's own grace has invited us to this city, and this salvation has granted us access into God's very presence. Praise the Lord. That is the beginning of thinking about the fact that grace is and always will be amazing. I hope you haven't got over getting saved if you're a Christian. And I hope if you're not a Christian, you will stay tuned just a little while longer. Grace is amazing because our sins were judged in Jesus, and we are no longer condemned. I still haven't grasped all of this. It is amazing. I don't know any better word in the human vocabulary to describe what Jesus has done to save people just like you and just like me. You know, the Bible said we've all sinned, every last one of us, and we've come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And it's amazing that God in His grace and in His mercy would send His Son, and that Son of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, would take our place on an old rugged cross. I am still in awe. After all of these years, praise God, I'm still in awe of what it means to have Him do that in our behalf. Romans chapter 8 puts it very, very clear. 8, chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a mouthful. Let me read it from the Amplified. God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. See, no man could keep the law. You couldn't. I couldn't. There's no way that we could keep every commandment perfectly. The entire nature of man, it goes on to say, without the Holy Spirit sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Praise God. In order to forgive our sin, God had to judge our sin. See, friend, the whole meaning of salvation is that God deals radically, and I might add ruthlessly, with our sin. It's nonsense to say you're saved and your sin is not dealt with. The whole reason Jesus came to die was for sinners and for sin. According to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, speaking of Mary, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin." See, the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. So we can read that same text today and say He came and He will save all people from their sins that would come to Him and call upon Him. He condemned sin and came to break the chains and the power of the devil in our life. There's no salvation unless sin has been dealt with. And today, I say sadly, in many Christian circles, we don't even want to mention man's sinfulness and the need for repentance so that Christ's atoning blood might be applied to our lives. One prominent minister on television, who was also pastor of a huge church, teaches that Christ came to die on the cross to save us from our low self-esteem. Oh, my Lord, I can't imagine how far from truth that statement is. It is absolutely astonishing that we would miss the joy of having sins forgiven and the kind of love that would take our sin and be punished for our sin so that we could be forgiven of our sin. The Bible is clear. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 said there is none righteous. No, not one. Grace is amazing because God in His wonderful mercy has judged our sins in His Son, the innocent, suffering, and being judged for the guilty. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." God has conquered sin in the flesh by sending His Son, who lived a sinless life, to die in our place. He was judged, and God's wrath literally came to rest on Him. We should never be offended by the fact that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. We should be filled with love and gratitude for a God that loved us enough to send His own Son, and to Jesus Christ, who laid down His life so that we could be forgiven. Praise God. I love 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I love the Amplified. It says, without having seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not even now see Him, you believe in Him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Hallelujah! This triumphant, heavenly joy is the missing element in so many Christian circles and lives and even churches that renders our testimony void of impact. You know, if you go to church Sunday and you look around a bunch of Christians that look bored, looking at their watch, wanting the service to end at a gnat's eyebrow of 12 so they can hurry and get out of there and go do something fun. Oh, my Lord in heaven, somebody is missing something that is so critical and crucial to our faith. And David called it, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation in Psalm 51. Donald Miller talks about what it's like to feel like you're not really living the way you're supposed to. And this is what he said, and I quote, I could not, in good conscience, tell a friend about a faith that didn't excite me. I couldn't share something I wasn't experiencing, and I wasn't experiencing Christianity. What a very open, honest man this is. Are you honest and open today? Are you really experiencing the faith that you have embraced on a daily basis? Is grace still amazing to you? Do you love Christ? In reciprocal love, reciprocating that love that He loved you with, do you love Him with inexpressible joy? Friend, I think a lot of us are going to be hard-pressed to say that. We need to own up to the fact that we need to get a fresh view of the cross, and particularly of that suffering, perfect man that died in our place on it. And say, God, you know I don't deserve this, but thank you so much for giving this gift to me. The gift of Christ, the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life. Praise God. Amen. He said, and I wasn't experiencing Christianity. He goes on to say, it didn't do anything for me at all. It felt like math, like a system of rights and wrongs and political beliefs. But it wasn't mysterious. It wasn't God reaching out of heaven to do wonderful things in my life. And if I would have shared Christianity with somebody, it would have felt mostly like I was trying to get somebody to agree with me rather than to meet God. Now, because he looked for more, he found more. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. If you're hungry for more, there's more and more and more and more and more. Praise God. The Bible is too big a book. And I'm not talking about the thickness of it. I'm talking about just understanding anew and afresh and with a deeper understanding of what it means to be saved and what it took to save us and the love, the grace, the mercy that brought it all to pass. If we do not deeply sense our sinfulness and total depravity without Jesus, we can never fully appreciate God's wonderful, marvelous grace. I remember one time I was singing in the song service on the platform where the song leader and the congregation, those verses of Amazing Grace. And when we came to the verse, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I heard one of our musicians say, I ain't no wretch, to himself. But he said it so loud to himself, everyone on the platform heard him. And I thought, oh, my dear brother, how blind you are to what God has done for us. We're all fallen people. We're all part of Adam's fallen race. Sin has poisoned and tainted every one of us. And everybody needs a Savior because we're wretched without Him. We are without God and without hope, and that leaves us in a wretched condition. We can't help but sin. We can't deliver ourselves. But thank God, God sent a Savior for you and for me. That man finally got saved, by the way. He had a profession without a possession. Be sure today that you know whom you have believed, and you're fully persuaded He's able to keep what you've committed to Him against that day. If you're really saved today, amen, you know in your heart that you were not worthy of the gift that God gave you. But you also know in your heart that God has provided a lamb, a sacrificed lamb. Jesus was called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist because He came to offer Himself a sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. One writer commenting on our text captures this thought beautifully, and I quote, he said, "And when you died, our sin was condemned in your flesh by sending His own Son, by sending you, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh." That's Romans 8:3. Were clear words ever spoken, Lord Jesus, concerning the glory of penal substitution? This glorious doctrine that today, to our shame in the church, is so embattled and even denied in some circles, that God in your flesh condemned sin, not yours, ours, you, the substitute sacrifice. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. Upon you was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with your stripes we are healed, according to Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And then he says, "O Lord, rescue this great truth from the mangling hands of foolish men, and may it be the foundation of all our faith and joy and worship and obedience." Praise God. I'm excited today to be saved. After all of these years of serving Jesus, I want you to know that grace still amazes me. And this kind of love, what kind of love is this? That God would take on flesh. God the Son would take on flesh. God the Father would send His Son, and God the Son would come and hang upon the cross so that sinners like you, yes, you and me, could be forgiven, could be accepted in Him, hallelujah, could become citizens of heaven while living right here on the earth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to read a true story of a wagon train that found themselves in the midst of a raging prairie fire, driven toward them by a fierce wind. Almost everyone, in blind panic, watched and tried to outrun it. But the scout quickly set the brush afire behind them, told them to be still, stop. You can't outrun it. It'll catch us. It will sweep over top of us. But he set a fire behind them and backed the wagons upon the charred and still smoking earth. He spoke confidently to them, "The fire cannot harm you here. You are on ground where the fire has already burned." Folks, I want you to know that we're standing on ground where the fire of God's righteous indignation, His wrath, has already burned. Our sins were judged in Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He, Jesus, was chastised so there could be peace between us and God, and so we could experience the peace of God and the peace of forgiveness in our heart and in our soul. Praise God. Although out of pure grace God does not impute our sins to us, He nonetheless did not want to do this until complete and ample satisfaction of His law and His righteousness had been made. Since this was impossible for you or me, God ordained for us in our place one who took upon Himself all the punishment we deserve. He fulfilled the law for us. He averted the judgment of God from us and appeased God's wrath. Grace, therefore, cost us nothing, but it cost another so much to get it for us and grant it to us. Grace was purchased for you and me with an incalculable, infinite treasure, the Son of God Himself. A little footnote here, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ as long as he could stand. Becoming feeble and almost blind, he was helped to the pulpit by an assistant who stood by him as he preached. In the course of his sermon, he said almost in a whisper, "Jesus is precious." He paused and then said it again, "Jesus is precious." His assistant told him softly, "You already said that, John," to which he replied, "I know, but I'm going to say it again." And then he shouted, "Jesus is precious." You know, the Bible said we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. I'm so glad today that I am a child of the Most High God, that I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm still amazed that God would come down, take on flesh, take my place, be punished for the sins that I have committed. The wrath of God burning out in Him so that I could be forgiven, so I could be set free. And friend, today the same thing can happen. You can receive Christ as your Savior and all the blessings and benefits of His suffering and His cross, His shed blood, can be granted in gift form to you. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. Call upon Him right now and come to the table of grace. If you're a Christian, go to church and praise Him and serve Him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. At the table of grace, to come you every heartache, don't try to hide your earthly scars. In His eyes, we all are equal. Yes, we are. Don't be afraid. Come as you are at the table of grace. The cup's never empty, the plate's always full, and it's never too late to come and be filled. Love never ending. You're always welcome at the table of grace. Thank you.
treasure by the power.